And that is, God wants to take the harvest in. You and I are going to have to be involved in being a part of the storehouse that God wants to bring the harvest into. And if we will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we'll not have to worry about the things that we need to carry on everyday life. In other words, God said he'd provide them if we'll seek first his kingdom. What does it mean to seek first his kingdom? Well, it means to seek first his way of doing things. Always be reminded that there is a God way of doing things, there's a devil way of doing things, and there's a man way of doing things. And you and I should totally always focus on the God way of doing things. In other words, you run into a situation, you run into a problem, you think about, well, how would God do this? How would God operate? What would God's attitude be toward this? If we will think of that, we'll begin to see things just a little bit differently. I know we automatically do things many times. We automatically step out. Even, we get up in the morning, we're used to doing certain things, and we automatically drift into that. And some of it is good. There's nothing wrong with that. We automatically do those things because we have trained ourselves because we want to do certain things. It may be devotional time. It may be anything. Some things are good. But many of the things, we go into our workplaces, and we automatically just step into, quote, work mode. Well, we can't do that. We have to come to a place where we are consistently aware of God's influence and his desire to be influential in your workplace and in your job and in your schools. We must be aware that he desires to speak life into the individuals that we're having problems with. When we want to just turn around and say, we just do your job and leave me alone and I'll do my job. Those very people God wants to influence. Those very people God wants to speak life into, and who has he got before them that he can use? Well, most often it's us. It's the church. We're right there in front of them. So he wants us to be able to speak life into them. Not things that will embarrass them now. You know, this is where the church gets a bad name. Because the church sometimes goes, sees issues in people's lives, and they immediately start trying to address the issues rather than minister God to them. Ministering God to them is showing them love, showing them a better way by your example. But most of all, that you care enough about them that you will ask them how they're doing. And when they tell you, well, I'm really having a problem in this certain area, it may be a marital problem, or maybe they got a real bad hangover. Oh, a good Christian is so just wants to get in there and say, well, you know what got you? What that got you? You know, come on, we've all done it to some degree. And some of us, sometimes we may not even said it, but we thought it in our heart. We thought it in our mind. And I want you to know that even though when we think of things like that, they can sense it.
That's right.
They're a spiritual being too, you know. They can pick up things in the spirit. So when we think about these things, they can pick up on that. But no, we have to change our thinking around, ask God to change our heart. So when we see people hurting, we'll have compassion for them. We'll have real compassion for them when we see people hurting, and it doesn't matter where the hurt come from. You know what? A real bad headache hurts, whether it's just from bad lighting or from a bottle. It still hurts.
Yeah.
A bad headache still hurts. So, God wants us to have compassion on people who are hurting, and we want to minister life to them, not condemnation. God wants to do that continually through us. And if we'll do, he'll say, hey, there's a group of people over there that meet on the Loyalist Road, and they won't condemn you when you come with all your junk and all the stuff that you need to get rid of. They'll love you in the health. They'll help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. They won't condemn you when you come into that place, but they'll do everything you can to get you delivered from the problem that's been harassing you all these years. He'll begin to speak to them. He's not going to take them to say, I want you to go to some place where as soon as you get in, they're in the door, they're going to come at you with some issue in your life. I've heard one preacher say, even an old pig, when they come up to the trough every day, if there's a brick falls in their head, after a while, they'll learn not to go to that trough. Well, we don't want to be like that. We don't want to hammer people when they come looking for help. We want to have the compassion of God. Now, I want you to see yourself as a glorious church, a glorious people, not a struggling one. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm struggling right now. Yeah, well, I want you to see beyond that. look beyond the struggles of life into the blessings of life. If you'll look beyond the struggles of life into the blessings that you have in your life, and not one of us can say we don't have any blessings, if we look at the blessings, we begin to stir our faith up for more of those blessings to come into our lives. Hebrews says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith produces something. So if we keep our eyes on the struggles, we're going to be believing for more struggles. But if we'll keep our eyes on the blessings, it might be a wonderful family around us. It might, you know, it can be anything. It can be a wonderful husband or wife. It can be a roof over your head. It can be a vehicle that you drive. It can be relationships. It can be fulfillment in other areas of life that are all blessings that you can look at. And as you keep your eyes upon them, you'll begin to stir your faith for more things. And this faith will begin to produce this in your life. I remember hearing a story about a military man, and he had gotten orders from his general to put up the surrender flag because it looked like they were beaten. Well, he figured he could win this battle. The guy on the field figured, he said, there's no giving up. And so he looked in the telescope, and the general was given the orders to draw back. And what the guy did on the field, he had a bad eye, he had a patch over, or he had a bad eye, couldn't see out of one eye. So he took the scope and put it over the bad eye and said, no, we keep on going. I don't see any signal to surrender. So they kept pushing through and won the battle. Well, some of you and I have to get to the place where we stop looking at the signal that the devil is trying to get us to quit or get depressed or get discouraged about a situation. We have to put that scope over our bad eye so we can't see what the devil is doing, but we can clearly see what God is doing. Glory to God. I mean, there's so many things that we wouldn't be in this building if some of us would have kept our eyes on the lack that seemed to be presented to us. We had to look forward. We had to think bigger and believe that God was able to supply the things that we didn't have in our hands at the present time. And he's able, he did it once, he can do it again. Glory to God. He's the one that supplies all our needs, but we have to have faith for it. And when I say that we have to have faith for it, we have to get thinking in a different stride than what the world thinks. Because the world talks about the economic situations and so forth and starts to see themselves as having to scratch out for a living as opposed to be believing for a greater blessing to come in their life. The world has talked the church into believing that the world doesn't want to come to church. And for the most part, we've bought the whole thing. And one good proof of it, when's the last time you invited somebody to come? You don't have to put your hand up or say anything, but think about it. When's the last time you invited somebody to come to church and try and tell me we're not buying into the world's philosophy that the world doesn't want to come to church? Well, I'm telling you, the world out there has a lot of desire to get delivered from the things of the world, and the church is their only hope. Now, they may not know it right now. I mean, somebody invited you to come one time. 86% of the people who come to church come because somebody invited them. 86%. And the world, the church for the most part, is missing that whole avenue when it comes to inviting people to come and worship their awesome God, to come to a place where they can be delivered and set free. You see, we have to repent of buying into the world, what the world says about the church. Because you and I buy in just the same way as the church of Corinth in Paul's day began to allow things to take place in the church because they were influenced by the spirit of the world, and that same devil, that same spirit of the world wants to influence the church today and wants us to buy into what it has to say about it. But you are a glorious church. Now, and you are loved. Jeremiah 31:3. Says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with my loving kindness. You know, he's saying that about you. I've loved you with an everlasting. It is me that has drawn you. He's drawn you. Well, there's lots of others out there that he wants to draw to himself. Now, I want us to, when we come to the church, to encourage you that you are loved of God, you are blessed of the Lord, you are a glorious church. I want you to absorb that, take that in, so when you go out there, you're not wondering, does God love me? When you're dealing in all the things of the world that takes place, whether it's a workplace or whether we're dealing with other people that are around us that may have all kinds of influences on them, we don't have to be wondering, does God love me? We know that God loves us. We are absolutely convinced that God loves us. We are convinced that we walk in the blessing of God. So when we get out there in the midst of all this other trash, when that spirit of the world tries to get on us and tries to get us to accept its philosophy, well, God doesn't really care about you. God, it seems like God's really not in this. It seems like I can't feel God. Maybe he doesn't even know I exist. You see, that's all part of the world system. And if you and I don't come to the place of faith where we absolutely believe that God loves us, he cares about us, he knows what we're going through right now, and he's got his hand on the situation, if we can't accept that, folks, we're going to get ourselves into a place of being really discouraged. But I thank God that we can know that he loves us, he cares about us. Say this with me, God has drawn me with his loving kindness. Well, if he's drawn us with our loving kindness, we must be closer to him than we were before. Praise God. And he's closer, we're closer to him than the world is for sure when it comes to being his sensitivity and so forth and knowing what he's like, what he is like. Be absolutely convinced that God loves you, and you will have to take that by faith most of the time. Why do I say that? Because do you ever notice sometimes you get into a place of you're praying and you really sense the presence of God? I mean, I do. Sometimes get into that place, and I know you do too. Well, it may be around some other people. And, you know, maybe you haven't prayed for a long time, but you still feel that sense when you're around some other people because they have prayed it through and you're getting in on what they prayed for. And that can happen. And that grace can come upon us. And we can sense that. Well, it is so important for us to be able to take that then when we get out of that environment into a more worldly environment and remember what it was like when we were back there. Because the reason why we feel so different when we get out of the world and we get out into the world as opposed to, say, in a prayer meeting or when the Holy Spirit is moving is because we're more sensitive now to the spirit of the world than we are to the Spirit of God. When we are in a place, we've come together as a people and gathered and we began to pray and began to minister to one another, and there might be prophetic words given and so forth that brings encouragement. The Spirit of God is operating. The Spirit of God is functioning, and we are more sensitive to the Spirit of God in that kind of environment. But then when we get out there into the world, the Spirit of God is, or the Spirit of the world is stronger there, and we begin to get pressured into, the world tries to pressure into the way it thinks. And so we don't sense what we sensed before, but it's because we're not as spiritually sensitive when we are out there. This is why we must learn to take our position in Christ by faith. We must, even though we don't believe, or pardon me, we don't feel like God is right next to me, we believe that he is. Or we don't feel that God is in me, we believe that he is. We take that by faith the same way we pray when we pray for healing. The scripture says in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, you know, it talks about moving mountains by faith. And whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Well, we have to believe that God is with us. We say by faith, I thank you, God, that you're here right now. One thing I don't quite understand, and I'm not criticizing anybody, I'm just saying I never had this experience. I don't understand where when people say sometimes they got mad at God. Now, I'm not criticizing anybody because I'm just saying I don't understand that. I have a hard time relate to that because, and the reason why, you know, I've been disappointed a lot of times about situations in life. I've been disappointed with myself. I've been disappointed with people, but I've never been disappointed with God. I always felt that if there was a situation that wasn't working out for me, it wasn't because God was trying to keep something from me, something good. I was never mad at God, wasn't disappointed in God. I would always think about, well, I must be missing it here. I must be missing it somewhere. And I didn't condemn myself about it. I realized, I just admitted, that I wasn't Mr. Perfect.